Today's daf is Daf Samaches. We got up to yesterday the Tana Rabbanan. The Tana Rabbanan was about beneath the third of the way down. Tana Rabbanan, Hamisameit Enod, Hamitzabed Mitnod, Hamitapeach Et Shokov. Somebody who goes out to collect the money by making himself look like a cripple. So he walks around with his a little patch over his eye, like he's blind, or he's got a swollen belly, looks like he's got some kind of terrible disease, or he's got his feet, sometimes the gears floats, in other words, so he's using crutches, he can't put his feet down, so his feet are, he's pretending that he's a cripple, or he's the kapeach that he keeps it up, so it looks like one foot is broken, but in any event, he uses this to collect money. He won't die until this actually happens to him. This is his way of living, so then let him live this way. Now here it's very interesting halacha. We just had the din that in terms of demachsoro. And anybody who accepts, not only that, the Rish is talking about that he goes out to make himself into the type of person that people will give tzedakah to. But even if a person's mekabel tzedakah, doesn't require tzedakah, then in the end, before he dies, he'll find himself in a situation in which he does require tzedakah. So we learned yesterday, about halacha bei machzoro, that what it is that we give a person is al pi the level, standard of living that he was used to. So we find in the same type of din, that when it comes to determining whether a person is supposed to be able to take from Lekar, Chikha, and Peah, so we have a law, he has to have a certain amount of money, below a certain amount of money, the Matayim Zuz, and a person who's not liquid, so he could say, I don't have money. So you think you'd be able to tell him, okay, so you sell your house, you'll have plenty of money. And you were mechuyev that you should be liquid. Says the Mishnah, no, it's indeed measured in terms of liquidity, which is why somebody who's traveling and so on, you're allowed to demand them. There's various halachas in terms of what we view your portfolio. So legabe taking over here, like a chikobeya, we're not mechayev in that way he would be able to take and still maintain his normal way of living. Yes, the Gemara is that true. V'lo v'atanya, hayam yishtamish b'chlei zahav yishtamish b'chlei chesed. That a person, we do expect him to go down a level. If he's used to using golden kelim, so let him use silver kelim. He's used to using silver kelim, let him go down to copper kelim. But like, how does that kind of fit in with the Mishnah? It depends whether you're talking about things that people are used to focusing on in terms of a lifestyle or not. So lokasha. Person to eat with the type of silverware that turns him off, that's something that we don't expect them to sell. To have a table that's made out of a cheaper wood, that will be mechayev. So Sigmar, why is that? Why are they expecting him to sell and go down a level in the way he lives with his silverware? Because the armor may easily. He could say, it disgusts me, I'm supposed to eat with plastic. What kind of business? So maybe, can't you say the same thing, that mita b'shulcha nami yom alo mekabeluluya? That it just doesn't feel right to me. It's not what I'm used to. Omar Rava, but Rebbe Rava is not talking about, when he talks about his kelim, it's talking about over here, the macharesha, the kaspa. We're talking about over here, two different types of klei tashmisho. You assume that there's different types of klei tashmisho in terms of personal use. That indeed is a mistake. Maybe things that are used as part of your normal living doesn't matter, whether they're the things you put into your mouth or the things that you're sleeping on or putting your kelim down on. But to somebody who has klei tashmisho, he's a farmer and he's got a silver plated plow, that's already ridiculous. What does he need a silver plated plow? It seems a little funny to have a silver plow. The sheet that says a macharesha refers over here not to a plow for the field, but rather a back scratcher. So that's already, that's so unusual to the mela, you need to have a silver back scratcher, that's already so beyond the ordinary means that a person shouldn't be able to say moistly to have dafka a plastic back scratcher. That I can't live with that we don't accept. Rafoka says no. Those kind of things, you're drawing lines where there's no particular line to draw. At what point do we say a person needs X or feels comfortable with X? There has to be a definitive difference between the Braita and the Mishnah. And the definitive difference is that lokash. The pashtus of this would mean, and this is the way the Rif learns, or Rabbeinu Tam learns, that there's a difference between a person who's openly taking tzedakah and a person who is not taking tzedakah, he's only going around for lecture shikopeya. So in other words, if a person is already on the dole, so he's coming to the kupa shel tzedakah and so on, so then we are mechayev him to go down a level, not to maintain, if it's something that really is not going to affect him drastically. Masha Inkin, if he still is not publicly taking tzedakah, he's taking like a shikopeya. Over there already, we're not going to be mechayev. However, Rashi has a completely different approach. Rashi's approach is that when it says Shaboli de Gibui, it's referring to an usher who took Shalo Kedin. So he was taking Lekha de Shikho Peya, and he wasn't supposed to. Now it turns out, we find out that he's been eating Kaspam Shalani. Now, when we collect from him, and he can't afford to pay back, we said, you know what's going to happen, you're going to end up becoming an Ani, so that becomes an Ani. So now, we need to collect from him. What do we do? So there's two inyanim over here that are special. First of all, normally, money that doesn't have a particular owner, called Mamon She'en Lo Tov'in, who's going to sue him for like a chicken pay? We're going to get all the ani, we'll do a class action, and figure out class action. We'll get every ani in the world to sue this guy and sign on so that the lawyers can get rich. They haven't figured that out yet. So normally, we don't go out after Mamon She'en Lo Tov'in, but over here, because of a knas that the guy went ahead and took like a chicken pay, we need to define, socially speaking, the best that was training such a person that we go and sue him. Furthermore, normally when you're a Baal Chov, so then there's a bit of misadrim in the Baal Chov. When somebody is in a position where he's bankrupt, it's called misadrim. So bankruptcy is chapter 11. Misadrim is chapter 11 in the Torah. So that we don't force a person to sell his house and so on, and there are certain basic things that he gets to keep. Here, we do. That's what's why. That's part of the Knas. So we don't say misadrim in the Baal Chov. So when it says that we are Mechayev Moto, it's referring to a very special case where it goes beyond even the normal chiyuv of a bankruptcy because he was pogea in the normal halachas of lekha shikopeya. So it's not referring to lidei giboy correctly, but rather it's lidei giboy be'isr. Yitomah, getting back now to the halachas of the Tanai HaKetuvah, so we saw earlier the din of Parnosa, and that which is really split into two issues. Yeah. Parnosa in terms of bizonos, and that's usually to distinguish it from the other dinim. We call it bizonos. And then we have the halacha of nedunya. We just began discussing nedunya in what would be the assumed norm of a nedunya. Somebody doesn't define a nedunya. So yesterday's Mishnah was min hastam. There's a certain chamishim, so this is the standard nedunya. And that, look, if you can afford more and so on, then we go up all of itvoda. Earlier, we had a description of mizonos, what's considered to be, not in terms of a bat, but in terms of his wife. I'm assuming that Mishnah was talking about a norm of mizonos, and obviously it wouldn't apply only to his wife. Somebody who's now giving his wife ayadei shalish, so we need to define what is onish of Yitzro, what's considered to be minimal mizonos, and then again it goes hakol lefi kvodan under other circumstances. There's a tremendous difference, however, between those dinim, which are either Tanayat Tuva in his lifetime, such as the case where the guy was traveling overseas, or Tanayat Tuva after his death, where over there he's Mikhayev, is one of the Tanayat Tuva, whether it's written or not, that he has to be mazin also his daughters. Fine. What about the other issue, which is Nadunya? So there we have, again, if we have the father is alive, okay, so he has a right to define it. If it's Mesiyah Pito, he doesn't define it, he can define it as Aruma, so to speak, as the Mishnah said, a stripped-down marriage. I'm not giving anything you want, my daughter, you give everything. But if there was no definition, so yesterday we learned that the standard is either looking for that or in the Mesiyah Pito, lo yifot lo mechamishim zuz. What about in a case where a person dies without any defined gift to his daughter? He doesn't say, if my daughter gets married, I want to give her kach for kach. Now, the din of the giving over what's called parnasah, technically speaking, as opposed to mizonot, which is to make sure that a child has a nedunya in order to get married, there's no particular amount that defines it. In other words, he can change it if he wants, and it's not part of the normal tanayat tuva. It's an understanding of a rutzen of a father, which bezdin is mechayev also his heirs. And we'll see that because that has tremendous nafkaminas la'alocha in how it is that we'll collect it. But not only in how it is that we'll collect it, but also in how it is that we will estimate it. Because suppose somebody dies, and he doesn't leave at Sabor to say how much he wants to give to his daughter. So what do we do in those cases? Says the Mishnah, Yitomasha siyata ima o'acheha. So in a case where you had a ketana, and her father is no longer alive, her mother goes out and accepts kedusha and marries a rav, or her brothers go out and marry a rav, not only accept kedusha, take it to chuppah, and so on. And they did this mida'ata. Now, the only reason it says mida'ata, we don't really need mida'ata. We're talking about a katana, we don't need to teach me the mida'ata, because if it's not mida'ata, she can walk out and be in the ma'enet. And obviously it's mida'ata. The point over here is mida'ata is to tell us that even though she agreed to whatever it was that they gave, even though maybe it was not what it would have been that we normally would have expected them to give, and she went ahead with the marriage anyway, and we would have thought that that's called mechila, but she's a ketana, so her mechila doesn't register. So if they were kotfula, the me'ah, b'chamishim zuz, doesn't matter what they said they were going to give her, and the halacha is that yefolai misha tagdil, when she gets older, she can sue them, lotzimi adam mashera oili natein la. We'll see later on that the norm is to give 10% of the property to a daughter for marriage. We'll see what happens when there's multiple daughters. But let's pretend now there's one daughter, the father dies, they give her some cheap type of nadunya, she gets older, she says, if I would have gone to Bezdin, they would have given me a certain question. When I hadn't got married, I didn't know any better. So they say, but you agreed, we told you, we're only giving, I was a ketana, or mechila is not a mechila, and I'm suing you for the Yisur Nechassim, she can sue for Yisur Nechassim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, now, it's not so simple. That's a din Yisur Nechassim. Meaning, in other words, the Mishnah doesn't define Yisur Nechassim, obviously, but the Mishnah says, Mashra Uili Natenla, as if that's a given. And we'll see, the Brach explains that given in terms of Yisur Nechassim. Rabbi Yehuda says, there is no given. And in Hisiyat Abata Rishana, let's say that it's talking about that the father died after he had already married off a daughter. So he marries off his daughter, and to that daughter he gave maybe 5% of his nechassim. So in that case, since it actually to machlok is more or less, there's a sheet that it says we never do beyond his nechassim. We'll always limit it. But others say whatever it was. If he gave 25% of his nechassim, we give 25% of his nechassim. So we can learn from his first daughter's marriage what it is that he would have wanted to give to his second daughter. So im hisi et abat harishona, yinaten la shniya kederek shenatan la rishona. Say the chachomim, how could you possibly learn from something that happened in a person's past? I mean, pa'amim shadam ani ve'ashir, o ashir ve'ani. I mean, couldn't his personal circumstances have drastically changed between the time of the first marriage and the second marriage? So you're going to tell me we always do what he did for his first daughter? We're going to see that this does not mean what it appears to mean. Because obviously no idiot is going to say that if the guy has no money, then now we're going to go ahead and give her $500,000, because at that point there's a multi-man. I mean, of course that can't be what it's referring to. So we'll see what it means. But in any event, the Chachamim are saying, one cannot bring a raya, what the rutzen of an individual would be, from something that he didn't done in his past. Therefore, say the Chachamim, shamin et hanechasim, v'notnim la. We have to estimate now, we assess the value of the nechasim, and we give what is necessary for her. Now, what that is, sounds like Yisur Nechasim. The truth is, it's a machlokas rishonim, how to understand the Chachamim, but we'll talk about that when we get to the Gemara. Omer Shmuel, lefarnasa shamin ba'av. When it comes over here to deal with parnasa, as opposed to nisanot, in other words, to deal with issues of nidunya, so you have to estimate basically what the father would have wanted. Is he the type of guy that's a generous person? Is he very loose with his money when it comes to his children? Or is he a tightwad? Is he not getting along with his children? You analyze, what do you think a guy like that would have wanted to give? Look at this right. Daughters that are now yitomot, they get their mizonot and their parnasana. That sounds like mizonot in terms of the food, and the parnasa in terms of the dunya. That's the way we usually use the word. They get it from the nifse aviyah. Ketzad? Now look at this. Exactly the opposite of Shmuel. Ketzad? Ein omrim ilu aviyah kayam kacha kacha yanotema. We don't attempt to assess the value that the father would have given according to his das were he alive. Ela shamina tenechasim v'natima. What we do is we just have an assessor come in, and straight across the top, we take off that 10%. I mean, when it says over here, le parnasa, I mean, doesn't that mean what it usually means? My laf parnasa tabam. In other words, the nedunya, what was needed in order to get her married. So it's the exact opposite of Shmuel, who says that we do estimate what the father would have wanted to give. We're not talking about parnasat abal, we're talking about parnasat atzma, we're talking about her food. She is still living with her brothers. That's already part of the Tanayak Tuvah. So what is considered to be Ro'ila from Mizonos? So it's saying over here, we don't figure the father would have been this way or that way. Mizonos, we give what is necessary to give for Mizonos. What do you mean? But there were two words, nizonot umit parnasot. How can you say it means mizonot? Nizonot means mizonot, but parnasot means nedunya. My love, achat parnasat abal, achat parnasat atzma. When it says nizonot, that's parnasat atzma. She gets what she needs to live. Parnasa over here would mean she gets what the husband needs to live, so to speak. In other words, in order to be able to get married. It's true that that's often what it means, but in this case, it's not what it means. We could say either the idi be parnasat atzma. Both are referring to her needs. V'lo kasha. So it depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about over here in mizonot, so literally food, we call that mizonot. If we're talking about her clothing and her bedding, that we call something else, parnasa. But in terms of the halacha, these things indeed, being as it's tnei ha'ktuva, they don't go according to the rotzen of the father. When it talks about the parnasa for the baal, that's not referring to it all. And there the halacha is that it goes, as Shmuel says, according to what we think. Why would this be? Because, as we'll see later, a father can indeed define before he dies what he would like to be the parnasa of his daughter, and it's not part of the Tanayak Tuba. So since in his lifetime he would have been able to define it, it's very hot and stuffy in here, and everybody's falling asleep. Shall we open the door and risk the sounds? Turn on the... No, David's got his coffee. That keeps him going. But,
No sound.
Yeah, but he just came down from his mountain, and believe me, he's very warm. You got your heat on.
Yeah.
Fleece jackets.
Winters are coming in.
Okay, so let's wake up again and just review what we learned. All right, Shmuel came ahead now and said that when it comes to Parnasa, which means for the dunya, we got to figure out what a father would want to give. We ask on Shmuel, but here it says Beferish for Parnasa, not to mention Nizaynes. We don't figure out what the father would want to give. We actually take it straight off as a percentage of the estate. So Shmuel is answering now, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is answering for him, that it's referring over here not to Nedunya, which indeed we would analyze, but it's referring to Mizonot and clothing. So that Parnasa means clothing, it doesn't mean Nedunya, which is what it usually means. Why would we make a distinction and say that what Shmuel was talking about in Nedunya, Parnasa in the sense of Nedunya, we would go according to the father's rasa. When it comes to mezainas or ksus, we would not go according to father's rutzen. Why not? Explains Tosfos. The reason why not is clear. When it comes to nedunya, the father would have had a right before he died to say, don't give a nedunya at all. We wouldn't say to him, what do you mean? You agreed in the ketuvah. He never agreed in the ketuvah. But if you would say, don't give mezainas at all, we would say, excuse me, sir, we've got a contract, and that's what you're going to pay, and you're not going to be able to collect, to deny the payment. So therefore, it would make an afghanina in how it is that we would be sham also. So Shmuel makes a lot of sense. Says the Gemara, what do you mean it makes a lot of sense? And what about the Mishnah? It doesn't make sense in the Mishnah. That's all very nice in the Brayta. It's none. How about reading the Mishnah? The Chachamim are saying, how can you figure out what a person would want based on his behavior? Do you know what the current situation would be? Ela shamina nechasim adimla. So you figure out how much it is, and you give her. No. Now I'm asking you, tell me what that means. You think that means Aniva Ashir in terms of his portfolio? That's what you think it means. But you're trying to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is an idiot. And that he would say, a guy who gave $500,000 when he was alive should give $500,000 now that he went bankrupt. I mean, of course he wouldn't say that. Who could say such a thing? Even prorated, we wouldn't be able to say it. A guy who gave $500,000 when he was a multimillionaire should now give that same percentage when he has barely enough to eat. Even the same percentage we couldn't give. So it couldn't possibly be money. Inema ani means ani in terms of his portfolio. Benechasim. Ashir means ashir benechasim. So what are you trying to tell me? That the Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda is saying, afil ashir ve'ani can be kar yavin in law. Well, let's say, the guy has nothing to eat. You're telling, okay, but that nothing, we should give 20% of it maybe to his daughter. Well, it makes no sense. Hela lav, when we're talking about ani ve'ashir, it means in the enrichment of his life. Doesn't mean, what type of relationship does he have to life? There are people who are poor their whole life. You know why they're poor? Because they're stingy and they can't spare enjoying their money and so on. That's called ani. He's an ani badas. Usher is an usher badas. He's an enriched life. He shares. He's generous. So he enjoys himself. It's interesting. There was this article that Scott sent around that proves statistically that generosity ends up making you money. You're more successful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but proves it statistically. Mamish, amazing. Beautiful.
So he's agreeing with Tanakhama?
No, so therefore, what are the Chachamim are saying? The Chachamim are saying, forget about money. You can't even figure out what he would have wanted to give from the money that he has because people change. So that means that the Tanakhama would be saying, in other words, the Chachamim rather would be saying, that Shamina Tanakhasim and Nimla, despite the fact that we well know what it is that he would have given, and he gave, in fact, his first daughter, they're saying, how do you know? Lo Azinim Batar Undana. You can't work out what a person would want because people are not the same all the time. Tiyul Tzidishmu? This seems to be saying, Beferish in the mission, like not like Shmuel. Well, what's the problem? Shmuel clearly was passing like Rabbi Yehuda. Really, I'm like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not Rabbi Yehuda Omer. If you have a clear indication that Lamaisi went ahead and he married his first daughter in his lifetime, in Isi Bata Rishona, in Atein Lashnia Kederach Shonatana Rishona. How can we mean Shmuel was passing like Rabbi Yehuda? He wouldn't say halacha Rabbi Yehuda. He would come out and would make up that it's this new halacha as if he's coming up with a brilliant halacha. You know what? When it comes to Nadunya, we should analyze the Das of the Fathers and Ferish Mishnah. What's the Chiddush? It would seem that he was trying to say that this was everybody was agreeing to. That we showed was completely wrong to Yufta. So why doesn't he say, if it's Shmuel, let him say that name of Halakha Rabbi Yehuda? Because you see, Rabbi Yehuda is a little bit misleading. The only thing that we see about Rabbi Yehuda is in a case where the man actually had an opportunity to marry off his first daughter. Right? So I would have thought, let's say Shmuel would have said Halakha Rabbi Yehuda. Hama mina davki hisiya, the gali da'ater, avalo hisiya lo. I would have thought that Rabbi Yehuda is not willing to go so far. In other words, all Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that we have a clue. It's not an umdana that we're making. What type of person this is, what he would have given. We know what he did. But if he never married off his first daughter, I would have said, look, even Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that we as a court can figure out the psychology of a person. I mean, he may look like a very nice, generous guy, but who knows? Maybe he would have been, all of a sudden, he would have become stingy when he figured his daughter's getting married. Let her worry about her future now. What do I have to worry about it for? Maybe that's what. So I would have thought that he lo hisi alo, that had he not actually experientially gone through and given this amount of money, then we would have had no right, even al Rabbi Yehuda, to be sham lefid da'ato shalav. Gamash malan, time at Rabbi Yehuda, the azlinan batar undana. Therefore comes along Shmuel to say, don't misunderstand the meaning of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is essentially saying that a court has a right to be omed, to judge psychologically what a person would have given. Loshna isiyah, loshna lo isiyah. Why then did Rabbi Yehuda limit his statement to say isiyah? I would have thought, says Rabbi Yehuda, at least you would agree with me, okay, you hold that a court doesn't have a right to be psychologist. But if the person himself already went through a marriage of a daughter and gave a certain amount of money, so at least over there you'll say, listen, we don't have to be psychologists. We saw Lamaisa what he gave, so we'll give the same percentage to the second daughter. We have precedent. Therefore, it says, that even when a case, and we know what he would have wanted, you still can't rely on it. Lo azlin abatar umdana. That's what they say. What kind of umdana? You know what the person is right now, his matzah. Maybe he's feeling very stingy. Maybe he's feeling very anxious. But who knows? So you cannot use precedent to determine now your current umdana. We're getting to that. Tomalei Rava L'Rukhista. Rava said to Rukhista, tell me, Dashina Mishimcha, Halach Rav Yehuda? This is how Rashi learns elsewhere. It's okay then, but what I understand in your das that we could say over as your psak, that the halakha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, Marlei, oh, Ye Rava Koki Hani Mili Malayati Atidr Shomishmoy, Alavai. Such great piskei halakha should always be said over in my name. So, in other words, Rava apparently holds halakha like Rabbi Yehuda. Miyama Rava Achim. How could we say that Rava holds it, Rabbi Yehuda, that we go according to the umdana of what it was that the father would have given? Vatanya, Rabbi Omer, Batan Izonet Minachim. If the family is providing for her mizonot, I mean, she's still now a ktana, or nara, so then she's notelet isur nechasim. Okay, now that has all types of interesting implications. As we'll see in a moment, the deal. Rava paskin like that maimer of Rebbe. So Rava ma Rava hilchata kerebbe. Okay, so here it seems, first of all, that Rebbe is saying that the amount that you take is 10% of the estate, given. Now that's certainly not what Rebbe Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said that you go according to the umdana, and Shmuel was mazbir, that doesn't mean we need a precedent either. It means that we always try to figure out what he would have given. So where do you get this 10%? So how can Rava paskin both like Rabbi Yehuda and paskin like this Rebbe in the Braita? No kasha. What do you think? That Rebbe, because he said Isr Nechasim, so Rebbe means to say that there's no such thing as umdana. Maybe what Rebbe is giving us is a default position. In other words, if we're able to be omeid, fine, so then that's consistent with Rava's earlier psak, we'll be omeid and we'll give according to how much we think the father would have given. If we don't have the luxury of being omeid, we don't know the guy, he's from overseas or whatever, so then over there, this is the default, is 10%, maybe that's the pshat. Now, there's machlokesim about whether, when we said earlier, that shomina tanechasin, whether that, I'm getting depressed that. No, come on, that doesn't count. Whether that, it wouldn't even show up in a database. Whether that, and it has to be words that are specific. I mean, if you're going to have it in the title of a book, and it's not even capitalized in the title of a book, you put it into a Google search and it won't even show up in a Google search. You're going to tell me that that counts?
Well,
it's clear that it doesn't count.
Right, the last
that's a good point.
That's a very good point.
Very good point. Okay. Naneti lachaska. So now, as I'm saying, there's a machlokas whether the word shomin at anechasim means shomin in order to give Easter nechasim, or whether this is yet a third day. That there's a machlokas also in terms of the default position. Is the default position, like Rebbe Easter nechasim, that was taken for granted, the Mishnah never said it. Or shomin at anechasim is a different klal of let's figure out what level this guy was on. Is he a multimillionaire? Is he a middle class Nick? He's a lower class? And according to that, utilize the social norms of what someone in this society would generally do with this kind of money, which is a different way of talking about a default. The default is also not straight off the top 10%, and it's Rebbe is coming with 10%. Okay, so they say that's a machlokas because the Mishnah isn't clear about this. Rebbe is the first time that it mentions Easter Nechasim. Rashi learns that there was never an alternative. This is what the Mishnah was always assuming. You give her Easter Nechasim. They say not all the Rishonim are masking.
You have to make a shumat at that date on your day.
Not at that date. This is what he died with. Right? So now, we're turning out that according to Rava we're paskening, that although there's a default of 10%, there's also a lechatchila of umdana. And, says the Gemara, it's actually very reasonable to say that Rebbe wasn't giving an absolute 10%. He was giving a default 10%. Hakinami mistavra. The Omer Rav Adi Bar Ava reported a case of an actual event in which Rebbe, Maasev, Natanla, Rebbe Echad Mishnema Sabinachas, that once Rebbe gave to a woman a 12th of an estate. How's that possible? If Rebbe himself Baskin said it's 10%. So Kalitz Pashinadadi, El Alav, Shma Mina Hadi Abine, Adalamine. Obviously, there are cases where if we're able to be Aimed and the court feels confident that it understands what the father would want and it has a right to be Aimed, that does. But in a case where they don't have the information, they don't know the person well enough, so then there's the default of 10%. The case where he gave a 12th was talking about where the Bezdin was Makir, the deceased father. And they understood that he wouldn't have wanted to give a 10th. He would have wanted to give 12. What 12?
That's a small difference.
Small difference? $3 million by you is a small difference. And you call yourself an accountant? Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. This is a fudge character. Small difference. Do you know the hundredth of a percent that Walmart works on? Do you know? Do you know how negotiations break down over tenths, hundredths even of percents? Do you know how license agreements work on mil per million? And you're asking me as an
accountant,
2%, you're saying it's garbage. People go from bank to bank shopping for CDs. But what's the matter with you? I just can't believe this. Gentlemen, anybody that has been using the accountant services, 2% is garnished by them. Yeah, but his kasha actually was. Not that 2% isn't a lot of money. Our president doesn't speak lightly. But that we should be sensitive enough to know the difference between 10% and 12%, that's his question. But obviously, umdana is something that, by definition, is based on Bezdin's acceptance of its knowledge as being sufficiently strong to be able to make those kind of minor distinctions.
One way to make that distinction is the number of children he has, perhaps.
No, we're getting to that. That's the next piece. Gufa. Omar Rebbe. That's where we're coming. That was the Rata. Yes, there's a machlokas. I mentioned earlier, there's a machlokas. Rashi learns it could be much more. But there's some Rishonim who say it's never more. Easter Nechasim is a max, not a default, but could go beyond. Now, let's take a look at Rebbe again, trying to make sense out of it. Bata nizonet bin achim, notelet Easter Nechasim. So the first thing that strikes us is, if a guy had 10 daughters, so now there's nothing for the males. 10% age, goodbye. No Yerusha. Does that make sense?
Well,
Amrullah the Rebbe the Dvarecha, Mishi Yeshlo Eser Banot Ubein. So, Eno the Bein, but Makam Banot Klum. So, in other words, you're saying we should be Mavato, Yerusha Diraisa. The ben should have nothing, because we have a relationship to the rutzen of the mace. Only his daughter should. I mean, this doesn't make any sense.
10% of that portion.
What if they all come together?
Well, the ben certainly, we're not saying the ben doesn't get it.
Well, so then what happens when they come together? Is he like a daughter? Is he more? But you're saying 10% without taking into consideration the circumstances. And how could you give a default position that, by definition, destroys the whole concept of Yerusha? There's something wrong in what you're saying. That's what they're saying. Omar lahem, kach ani omer. What I'm saying, I'm not saying 10% apiece. I'm saying each one would get 10% of what was left. And therefore, if Lamaisa, they're coming together, so what would we do? We'd say, Rishona notelet isur nechasir. Everyone would take one tenth of what would have been left, and now put it all together in a common kitty and split it evenly. That's the trap. V'chozrot v'chokot b'shavet. That's what it ends up meaning. The Gemara doesn't quite grasp the meaning right off the bat. The Gemara thinks it means that they come now one after the other and somehow manage to now split it up that it should be even. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? How do they split it up? I don't understand. She already walked off with her schus. So now how are they going to go back now and split it up again? What are you saying? No, this is the point. You have 10 daughters. They're all coming at the same time. So what do you do? So then they would have to be chokot b'shaveh. How do we analyze what that amount of money would be that they would be chokot b'shaveh? You analyze it by putting it all together, putting it into a common kitty, and now splitting it. Okay, why now? What David is bothered with is thus is his kasha, as usual. Why is it that we shouldn't say the chatchila? That the meaning is, if you've got, you see, David knows Taisus, but I know David. Not sure which one is a bigger chiddush. So why don't we simply say that the meaning is, if we know that a guy has 10 daughters, so then what, we're not going to give Yisra Nechasim. We're also smart enough to know that there's a future. So let's work it out now, what we should give to each one based on as if they were all coming before. Isn't that the most reasonable thing? What do we have to say? No, it's not. We're talking about a case where they all get married on the same day. I mean, it doesn't seem reasonable. It does seem reasonable. Because the whole reason that we're giving, especially now that we're saying Rebbe agrees to Umdana, he's just saying in a case where law Aviv, I'm giving you a default. So that means that this is basically a stam. A default position is, what would stam a person be expected to do? But in that case, you see, the tella is that an individual who has 10 daughters would himself not act that way. Because people don't think in those terms. His first daughter will indeed get Yisra Nechasim. He's not going to say, well, I got so many daughters, let me figure out what I want to give to Sachakol, and now I'll split it up evenly. That's not human psychology. So if we're basing this whole position on human psychology, how could we possibly say that we're going to now apply some straightforward computer logic to the situation? That we won't say. If Lemaisa, because this is all part of the fuzzy logic of human decision-making, which really is not rational at all. Yeah, that's right. We need to take, it's very interesting, because it's only recently that it's become well-defined, and as actually they started mathematically giving values, these kinds of things. It's very important for making purchasing decisions and so on. If you're a seller, you have to learn to think illogically. Because people don't make decisions on logic. They do the most insane things. It's amazing when you analyze some of the cases, the way that people will almost invariably decide is completely irrational. You know, it's because of some prejudice that they had because they already put in money, or they'll keep doing the worst possible things. Okay, so therefore it's a stasis, but that's true over here also. They're not going to think logically and work it out, so how can we make a default position that's more logical than the person himself would have been if he were here? If the whole meaning of the default position is the person's own illogic. It's a beautiful basis. What a fantastic way of defining the halacha. Therefore, says the Gemara, the only meaning that Rebbe could have given is that, in fact, in a case where they all would have been here, this is the way we would have done it. So then you can never tie it to me that there won't be a Yerusha. There will be a Yerusha. And it's the same exact logic that provides for the Yerusha.
So the Sokh Shalavar, they're all getting the exact same.
If they come together. Yeah.
Right.
Misayeyalei Rav Matan. This is what Rav Matan was saying all along. Gam Rav Matan. Bo, minasei kolam kachat, notlot isur. They take isur echad. They get one tenth. What do you mean, isur echad sakadayta? What do you mean? How could they take one tenth? Now you're saying you only get 1%. No, isur echad sakadayta. What he means is, notlot isur ke echad. They all get the same isur, because since they're all here one time, we now go back and make the common kitty. Tanarabon, Habanot. Now there's another very, very interesting point that Rebbe seems to be making, which now is what excites the Gemara. Rebbe said, Bat hanizonet min ha'achim notelet isur nechasim. Ooh, boy. We didn't focus on that, but the truth is, that is a very challenging statement. So in other words, you're telling me that only if the daughter is being provided mizonot, so then she gets nedunya. Does that make sense? Well, why is he putting the two things together? So does he hold that once she no longer gets mizonot, she will never get a nedunya? What does that mean? She got married, she became a bogeret, she became a naira, she was mochelet, she was mocha, I mean, with all kinds of possibilities over here, right? Therefore, the Gemara now moves on to what appears to be another question, but actually it was directly catalyzed by Rebbe's own statement. Where does a woman have...
Where does a woman have?
I mean, you ought to be able to predict if you're a woman. Where does a woman have a right to the dunya? And where not? And we're talking about, after all, in our Mishnah, suing for an dunya. So now we need to analyze that element of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was clearly telling me, Mechila, at least if a katana doesn't help, she can still sue. How about if a naira? Could we tell her that since she went through with it, she was mochelet? Okay. How about if the klal she was nitbagra before she ever got married, that she's still out of the dunya? What are the cases? Turn around one. Habanot, bein bagru achelo nisu, bein shir nisu achelo bagru, ibdu mizalotehem, velo ibdu panasatam. Very Rebbe. The first thing, says Rebbe, is look, we have to distinguish between the tnae ha'ktuvah, which is mizonot, and in mizonot, what does it say in the ktuvah? Whether it says it or not, we had in the Mishnah, what is the lashon of the tnae beit din that is assumed to be in the ktuvah? Ad tibagrin, until such time as they grow up, or ad the talakchun legubrin, remember? So in other words, whichever comes first, you end up losing. I don't no longer have to support you for my estate when you get a husband, or when you're old enough to take care of yourself. But it doesn't say anything about that in the nedunya, because there is no tnai ketuvah when it comes to nedunya. Therefore, if either of those steps occur, so she now becomes a bogeret, or she gets married, she loses her mizonot. However, says Rabbi, she doesn't lose the parnasah, because the parnasah was never defined as adati bagrun, or adati lakhun. So says the Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, no, it's not true. Af ivdu parnasatam, because the svora is that even though Chazal made a takana of this idea of nedunya, it was only in terms of the responsibility of the home. The estate is still viewed as her home. But if a home isn't providing for her daily mizonot, so then it's not reasonable to say that we would expect that she should be taken care of in terms of a nedunya either. So in other words, once she was a gdola, she's no longer able to taina that she wants the nedunya. That's on the one hand. And furthermore, even if she's not a bogeret, I mean, it's true that over there it says she's gachiti bagrin, but I mean, lamais, if she gets married without asking for it, so then basically she's been mochelet. The ketana, I understand. The mechila of a ketana is meaningless. But the mechila of a nara is certainly meaningful. Therefore, basically, I say, Rav Shimon Elazar argue completely. I taina, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether she became a bogeret, or it doesn't matter whether she got married and didn't become a bogeret, but she was a nara. Forget about it. She doesn't get in the dunya any longer. Aftib du panasatam. Now, of course, this puts her into a terrible situation, because now she's in a big rush to get her in the dunya. Now, this is the stuff of movies. Right? So what do you do? She's gone. Either she's married, literally, either she's married by tonight at 12 midnight, actually at Shkia, so either she's married tonight, or she loses $12 million of Isra Nechassim. What should she do? Obviously, as the movies say, she goes and rents somebody, she hires somebody to get married to her.
Husband for a day.
So what she needs to do is, she needs to pay a guy, right? So therefore, so my case, so let her hire somebody, to be honest. Incredible story. Say, let Mila Galora Misa be right. It's all in there. So here you've got the whole plot in a nutshell. And she's got to hire a guy that's going to, some say that's going to pretend to be her husband. The guy's got to be a good enough liar to get through with this. He's going to come to Bezdin and collect her in the dunya. So Chuvah and Balin, what can you do?
No,
Chuvah and Balin,
just
Ke'ilu. Huh? No, yeah, no, maybe go for the whole thing.
Let's see.
She'll
take
the hundreds who's not out from her next to her, I'm sure.
As I'm saying, that depends on the collection. It's all, the Rosh Hashanah is that the whole thing is a fake. Okay. Omer Nachman, Omer Lihuna, Hilchata Karebi. So Rav Nachman says that I was told by Rav Huna that the halacha is like Rebbe, and that no, we do not put the two issues together. Mizonot are defined, Achati Bavrin, but Nedunya is not defined that way. And that's how we pass. Eisrei Rav Rav Nachman, so Rav Esk Rav Nachman, it says, Yitomashi siyata ima o achia, or achia, midaata. Vekatvula, b'meyal b'chamishim zuz, יכולה עם מי שתגדיר להוציא מידם מה שראוי להינתן לה. And notice that we're talking about over here a case of a yetomah, and the Mishnah is saying, since she was a yetomah, who was therefore being married as a ketana by her mother, her brothers, so she's a ketana, because of that, her mechila is not a meaningful mechila. That was the meaning of midata, couldn't mean anything else, because otherwise it would be equivalent to me. So taima de ketana, but if she would have been a gedola, like she would, forget about being a bogeret, she was a nara. So if she would have been a bogeret, vitra. So if vitra, so then that means that the tana is saying, like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rebbe holds that the din is she always gets, even if she's a gedola. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says no. Once she's a gedola, she doesn't get. So then, how can you tell me that stam the psak halakha can negate the Mishnah? The Mishnah is a stam Mishnah. It doesn't say divrei. So you see that according to our Mishnah, only a ketana is the one who would get, and we wouldn't say it was mechila. Says the one, that's not a problem. Lokasha. Hada mechoi, hada lo mechoi. Where did Rebbe say that lo ibdu panasatam from the dunya? Where did Ravuna say halakha karebi that lo ibdu panasatam? Where she said, wait a minute. This isn't 10% of the nechassim that I'm supposed to be getting. So over there, she wasn't mivateret, so there was no mechila. The Mishnah is talking about in a case where she never mentioned anything. She didn't mention anything. So then, in Okinami, we used to say, I'm certainly not going to be chaylik on the din of mechila. If a woman says, I don't care, she can't change her mind later on and say, I'm going to sue you. She was mochalat.
She doesn't say anything. So,
that she's mochalat.
But she doesn't know.
We're going to see the cases. Wait, the woman's going to go all through this. And you know what? It's got to mean that. Because if it doesn't mean that, then it's a steer in Rebbe himself. Okay, now he started. He came kasha to Rebbe out of Rebbe. Notice what Rebbe said in the opening braita that we brought from Rebbe. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer, and here's the critical words, Bat hanizonet min ha'achim. Only a bat hanizonet min ha'achim is notelet yisur nechassim. So what does that mean? Nizonet in, she'in nizonet lo. So that means Rebbe himself was masking that we make the nedunya dependent on the mezonos. And anyway, the Rebbe just said, that they're two different sugyas, and it's not dependent on them. You can explain that to them. There's no bigger contradiction. Make up your mind. Does she need to be someone who's nizonet still? Or even if she's post-Muslim, she still gets to the dunya? So there's only one possible way to understand what Rebbe is saying. El alav shmamina hadem achoy adolom achoy. Shmamina. When it's talking about bat hanizonet benachim, and only, that's because if she isn't mocha, then indeed she's mochala. So she can't come back and sue for the dunya. Otherwise, Rebbe's contradicting himself. Omar le Ravina le Rava. Now, in light of what we just showed, Ravina says to Rava, you know, that Rav Ada Bar Ava quoted you as saying, Omar le Rav Ada Bar Ava, Mishimcha, that Bagra, Einatzricha Limchot, Niseit, Einatzricha Limchot. So if she goes ahead now, and she becomes a Bogeret, even if she didn't say anything, she was not Mevater on her Nedunya. Or, if she goes in and gets married, as a Ketana, or as a Nara, I mean, she also doesn't need to be Mocha. But if she was both Bagra and Niseit, then Tzricha Limchot. After they're already winning, she has both issues, and she's going to go ahead now and get married, then she needs to actually say, look, even though I'm going to, you haven't given me my full Parnasa, I still expect to get it out of you. That's what we're saying in terms of Rava. Yes, to Gemara, how could Rava have said that? Rava was the one who just asked Rav Nachman from the case of the Yetomah. Me on my Rabbah, how did Rabbah actually say such a thing? I thought, Eitvei Rabbah Rav Nachman Yetomah. Rabbah just a few lines ago. Eitvei Rabbah Rav Nachman. What do we do with the Mishnah that says Yetomah Shisiyatayim O'achia? And Rav Nachman had to come along and answer that Hada Mechoy, Hada Lo Mechoy. Let's remember, gentlemen, again, what happened just 10 minutes ago. Let's review it and see that from the fact that Rabbah never argued with Rav Nachman and accepted Rav Nachman's argument, it's clear that Rava could not have said the words that were just attributed to him. Just a few moments ago, we learned that Hilchata Karevi, Rav Nachman goes in and quotes Ravuna saying Hilchata Karevi. So we asked, Rava asks, Rav Nachman, paskening like Rebbe, violates the Stam Mishnah. Because in the Stam Mishnah it says that only if she is a Kitana do we say that her Mechila is nothing. But if she had gone to the Chuppah as a Nara, then we would have assumed it was Mechila. And you're saying the Halacha is, you just pass it like Rebbe, that even a woman who goes and gets married and loses her mezonos does not lose her parnasa. So how can you pass it like Rebbe when the Stam Mishnah is like the one who argues on Rebbe, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says that actually she does lose her parnasa? Explain. Answered Rav Nachman, it depends if she was mocha or not mocha, right? Now, the case in the Mishnah was a case of a ketana. But if it hadn't been a ketana, she had been a nara. So then Rava was quiet. Listen to Rav Nachman saying, well, If she hadn't said anything, then indeed she would have been in big trouble. She would have lost it. And here, Rava himself says, and he accepts this. Now, 5 minutes later, we hear Rava saying, actually, she doesn't even have to be mocha. What do you mean? You just said that if she isn't mocha, she loses it. Explain yourself. So, ask the Gemara, how could Rava have said that you do not require her to be mocha? So that if she is a Nara and she's Oleka to the Chupa, she doesn't need to be Mocha. Only if she was both a Bogeret and also Oleka to the Chupa, then she needs to be Mocha. Ah, you yourself just explained that the case of the Mishnah is talking about where if she hadn't been Mocha, that indeed she would have lost it. So Eizvei Rava L'Renachmi Yitoma. And what did Renachmi answer? Hada Mechai, Hada Lamachi. And you accepted that answer. Lokashet. Hada Kamitzen Aminai. This explains now already a deeper insight into what Rebbe said about Bat HaNizonet. Because when she is getting a parnasa from the family, what's she going to say? They're continuing to give her down mezainis, personal mezainis. So she's going to say, look, I want you to know, not enough. I expect to sue you for the rest of the nedunya. She's embarrassed to say something like that. She's still dependent on them. They continue to send her food. So she's going to tell them, I want you to know, this is not good enough. Okay, that's disgusting. So she's not going to do that. She's embarrassed to do that, and she doesn't want to ruin the relationship. So obviously, if we're saying she doesn't even need to be meicha, that's because we don't know that she's still getting money from them, which is lifnim mishuras hadin. They don't owe her any money. She doesn't get married. So they can stop being maisoner. But no, listen, you had an allowance your whole life. We're not going to... We know your husband's not doing well yet, just starting up. We're going to continue to take care of you. So she's going to go sue them now for the rest of the dunya. So over there, she doesn't have to even say anything. She's not in a position to say anything. What we're talking about over here, where she was now not being, which is the norm, she was not getting mizonis anymore. So at this point, if she just goes ahead and doesn't say, hey, wait a minute, I mean, where's the rest of my money? So then, inachinam, at that point, we assume that she's mochelet. There's a tremendous nafkamina. Omer Ravuna, Omer Rebbe, okay, this is a big, major, major sugya. I'm sorry for taking so long. It's important to learn this to get a sense of the whole daf, to recognize the two different worlds of mizonos, which is a tnai ktuva, versus parnasa, which is a new halacha of the takana that we do according to what we assume is the rotsan of a deceased, not a din ktuva. Now, when you say it's not like a tnai ktuva, what exactly do you mean? My ena kitnai ktuva. Is it to teach me that when it comes to parnasa, which is a one-time event of Isur Nechasim, that can be taken out even of property that had been sold? It's not referring to Mishabde that the father has sold, as Tosis points out, but property that the brothers should have taken into consideration after the father died, that they were going to need to give some of it to their sister for her marriage. Instead, they went out and sold it. That's called Mishabde. Okay, over there, it's to tell me that the Chov was at the time that the Yerusha was received. And the din of Mizonot is that, of course, you cannot be Terev. The reason that we can't remember, none of these, gentlemen, none of the dinim that do not have a well-defined value. The midi de lo katz is never meturaf mimishur badin. Remember, the reason for that is because of takanat hashuv. If we would allow people to go ahead and to sue, and over there mishubadat and stakruva would have meant mishubadat from something that the father had sold. So if we would allow people to come back 20 years later, let's say an almana is going to be nizonet, and she will say, well, you know, you bought this field 20 years ago when we were youngsters, my husband died, I need that field now for my mezainis. Nobody in his right mind would ever buy a field. Because they would say, do I know how much money it's going to take to feed, maybe I have to feed her for the next 50 years? It's always that those people that live to 120. So because of that, nobody will put himself in that position. We make a takanat hashuk, you can never be perif mimashab, you don't need the lokats. So maybe you'll say, that's the difference. Over here, you're talking about Eastern Nechassim is 10%. The guy wants to sell, so you take a look. And over here, they're heirs. Take a look, and you say, the only lien against this thing is 10%. He's got plenty of other fields to collect that 10%. I don't have to worry. I buy. So maybe that's the pshat. So the Eastern Nechassim, you would take afilo mimishubadim, meaning mishubadim of the heirs. And tnai ktuva, you cannot be tarif mimishabdim, meaning of the fathers. That's a chiddush. My kamashma, I understand. I need Ravuna to tell me that that was Rebbe's das. I mean, ma'asim b'chol yom, motzim l'fanasav motzim l'mizonot. Any bezdin has this happening every day for the past 500 years, since Rebbe gave out that psak, that was Rebbe's shita. So I need Rav Huna to tell me a big chiddush that you should know. I'll leave it a day to the rabbi. This every kindergarten dayan knows that that's a given. So I don't need Rav Huna to tell me that. That motzian leparnasa from mishabdei v'lo motzian for mizanot. Okay, so that can't be what Rav Huna is coming to tell me. It's a chiddush on the bit of red. The Ella, so what does he mean now when he's saying it's not like the Tanaya Ketuvah? That Parnasa maybe is better than the Ketuvah, because the Ketuvah, remember, we're not Goyva Mimim Metaltalim. We're only Goyva from those things that the woman was Somechet. So Parnasa Gavina Mimim Metaltalim. Whereas the Tanaya Ketuvah, we're only Goyva from the Kakoy. Not like Bizman Azeh, where we could be Goyva. Afilom Iguim Adal Katfoy, which we spoke about yesterday, was a Takanat HaGeonim. But at the time of the Gemara, there was no such din. So therefore, maybe that's the chat that gavim tator lo gavya, and that would be the difference. That can't be what it means either, because according to Rebbe, ini the inim nikva gavya. The Tanya echad dechasim sheyesh lemachrayut, the echad dechasim sheim lemachrayut, motzi in lemazona yishal levanoti. Rebbe, according to Rebbe, we will be gaver for mizonis, both for the almana and for the daughters, and for sure, if we're going to be mizonis, not for sure, because usually the tanaim tuva are more mugbal than this halach. So then how could we be saying that it's not like the Tanaya Ketuvah? Ella, I'll tell you the pshat. What does it mean when it says, and I needed to get to this piece, because this piece is basically the logic, the underlying yesod of the entire daf. What was meant by those words is this bright, like in Tanya. Ha'omer al yazunu binotav minachasav ein shomim lo. A person, when he's dying, who wants to take out, disinherit his daughters, in the sense that they should not get mezainis, we tell him, sir, you already were metchayev in your ketuvah. He said, but I didn't read that in my ketuvah. You don't have to read it in ketuvah. It's a tonight bezit. That's a given in a ketuvah. You have to allow your estate to be used for mezainis. But if he says, al yit parnesu v'notav v'nechasav, if, however, he says, I don't want my heirs, the males, deprived of their Yerusha, because of money that needs to be given to my daughters for their marriage, shomim lo, sha'a parnasa, enak itnai ktuvah. Since it's not a chiyuv, therefore it's an understanding of a normal tzava, he's saying, I'm dying and I don't want it, and therefore we will listen to him. And that is the basis of all of the distinctions that we've had over here, in terms of allowing umdana, and why we will fix it this way. As Tosha said earlier, the logic of all of this is because at the end we will see that Parnasa is not Kitnai Ketuvah. And therefore we have all these machlokas in between Rabbi Moshe ben Elazar about in what cases you lose Parnasa, in what cases you lose Mezonos. Is it limited by the learning of the Tanai Ketuvah? Is Mechila Chal, and so on.